opportunity to be with you all. I want to thank Pastor and Mrs. Garcia for your kindness. Thank you for the gift basket and everything, the hotel room, the accommodations, and we're so thankful for this church. And I think last time we were here was 2 years ago, which is hard to believe. We were just beginning deputation. I think Winston was about 7 months old, and now he's plowing over pastor's grandkids. So if we lose support, we understand. Amen. It's all good. But so thankful for the opportunity to be here with you all, and maybe tomorrow night just give a little more of an update what God's been doing in Libby. But we're so grateful for the fact that we serve an amazing God. And I'm thankful for the fact that not only is he amazing, but he's faithful, and he's always good. And I want to invite you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 this evening, and I just want to simply preach to you what God's been preaching to me. And the Lord has just been really working in my heart and my life on this passage. And I love the book of Philippians. Amazing book. And Philippians is a missions book. It's to the church. And the greatest moving force in this world today is a local New Testament church. And God does his work through the church. God advances his work. Churches are birthed out of other churches. And when you start here, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi as he's in prison. And I just want to encourage you tonight. I don't know what you're going through right now, but God does. But I also want to encourage you with this. You can have joy in the worst of circumstances. Yeah, that's right. Paul is going through what we would call an uncomfortable situation. He's in prison. He's under house arrest. And our prison system today, people intentionally try to go there because they have 3 square meals a day and they have a comfortable place to live. This was not how they lived their life back then. And yet God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul is able to write this. But what's encouraging, especially being a church planter, you come to this passage, and at the beginning of chapter 1, Paul is writing to this church. And when you go back to Acts chapter 16, if you would have said there's going to be a church at Philippi, you probably would have thought, humanly speaking, it doesn't look too good. They're meeting there with Lydia. They're down there praying at the river. But the next thing, they're in prison because of their faith. Paul and Silas are beaten, and really the first several converts are Lydia and her household and the Philippian jailer and his household. A very interesting combination. But when this book is written, it has been 10 years since that has happened. A lot of scholars believe about 10 years. And I want to encourage you, what God starts, he sustains, and he finishes. It's not based upon us, it's based upon him. And it's encouraged my heart reading through this book, continually study on certain things, that we serve a faithful God. Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Libby will not be sustained because of me. It will be because of him. And here we find that Paul is encouraging this church. And I want to focus on verse 27 just for the next couple moments with a thought that God has just rested upon my heart that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to you and a challenge like it has been to me. In verse 27 of chapter 1 of the book of Philippians, the Word of God says this, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. As Paul is writing this book to the church at Philippi, there's a lot of great truths in this book. But as I was studying through this, the Lord just rested my attention upon this phrase, and that word conversation. Oftentimes in the modern English vernacular, we think of conversation as what? How we speak. And although that is an important thing to remember, is how we speak impacts souls. But what the Apostle Paul is saying here, if you were to translate it into the Greek of what he was saying, only let your life and your lifestyle be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Because the church here at Philippi, often, especially under the Roman Empire, was considered a mini Rome. These people were citizens of the Romans. These people were followers of what the Romans told them to do. And before Christ, their life was based upon pleasing the Roman gods. Everything they did was based upon making these gods happy. And what Paul is trying to say is no longer is your life to be dictated by living according to these gods, but now your life should be dictated in pleasing the God, the Lord Jesus Christ. C.H. Spurgeon once said this, "A man's religion seasons his conversation." What Paul is trying to say here is only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. He's trying to say this: no longer should you be living for the things of this world. No longer should your lifestyle be based upon the world. But now your lifestyle should be focused on pleasing and exhorting and glorifying Christ. Before we come to know Christ, I'd like to remind us, if we would, turn to Ephesians this evening. This is the lifestyle we all were once in before Christ, and this is the lifestyle those at Philippi were in before they came to know Christ. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says this: "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, when in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Before God, that is how we all lived. Before God, our life, our conversation was based off what? What pleased me. What pleased the world. And by the way, may I remind us, you and I serve one of two masters. Either we serve the prince of the air, the power of the air tonight, or we serve Jesus Christ. Either our life is found here where you're lost and undone in your sin. And can I remind us and encourage us, you can be in a church service like this tonight and be 1,000 miles from Jesus Christ. Being an independent Baptist, having the King James Bible, dressing up does not make you a believer. Saying all the right things does not save you, does not get you to heaven. Recently, I've been with conversations of people that said, "Oh, I believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus." But more importantly, have you placed your faith in Jesus? Because even the devils tremble in fear in Jesus. But have you placed your faith in Him? Because if not, the Bible says this: just like those without Christ, before Christ, guess what we were? We were children of wrath, bound to eternity without God. You know, the Pope just recently passed away in this Monday, and everybody's been talking about his death and things, and I believe it was him that said, "All religions lead to heaven." Friend, there's only one way to eternity in heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. It's not just a Muslim way, it's not just a Pentecost, it's not just all these other ways that people like to talk about. There's one way, and it's through Christ. And can I encourage you, if you're not 100% sure tonight, tonight is the night to get that settled. Because you can fake it with everyone else, but you will never be able to fake it with God. And the Bible says this is what our life was like before Christ. That famous Frank Sinatra song, "I Did It My Way," right? The truth of the matter is, either we're doing it the way of the world or we're doing it God's way. And here the Apostle Paul is trying to remind them, just like before, you lived your life according to pleasing the gods. No longer are you to be pleasing the world. Now your life is supposed to be all about the gospel. It is Christ Himself who said this in Matthew 6:24. "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." May I remind us tonight, even as Christians, we cannot live a life where we try to have our foot in the world and the other foot as being a Christian. Either we're all in or we're all out with God. Either we're all in with following Him or we are not. Because just like these people, it was said their culture, their religion was bound culture, their games, their meals, their arts, and all forms of celebration were always in honor of the gods. And friend, may I remind us and challenge us tonight and ask this question: who and how are we living our life, and who are we living our life for? Because we're living in a materialistic world tonight. We're living in a nation so blessed that we've forgotten who has blessed us with the blessings. We're living in a world today where even Christian parents are willing to get up in the morning and take their kids to a baseball game on Sunday, but can't show up on church at 10 o'clock and get them in the pew. We're living in a world today where we can get up early in the morning and go hunting, but we can't get up early in the morning and spend prayer time with God. Why? Because our life has not become the gospel of Christ. I've grown up in Independent Baptist. I got saved in Independent Baptist Church. And Lord, when I'm going to die in Independent Baptist, can I say this? It's easy, even as an Independent Baptist, to go to church and not have your life be as becometh the gospel. It's easy even to stand behind a pulpit and preach the word of God and your life is not where it should be. It's easy to live and say, you know what? I'm doing all I need to do. I'm doing all these duties. I'm doing all these things that are required. But is everything encompassed with the gospel of Christ? Oh, sure. Isn't it easy to make our life about the gospel of Christ on Saturday when we go soul winning? But I ask you when you come home on Monday night, if what are you watching? Is it becoming the gospel of Christ as well? See, Paul is these people at the church of Philippi, it's not just a 50 thing, it's not just in the church service, it's not just when you're around other believers. Everything we do has becometh the gospel of Christ. All of it. Every moment of our life should be as it becometh the gospel. Because we're living in a world and age today where people are trying to tiptoe around what they can and cannot get away with, and yet what God is looking for is for a committed people that are going to say, I'm going all the way with God. Everything I do is going to be to please the Lord. The word of God says this in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven. So we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is our life an eternal, looking forward to the eternal, or is it looking towards the temporal? Paul says this, as a believer tonight, our conversation, our life should be all about what is to come. I believe it was Jonathan Edwards who said this, Lord, stamp eternity upon my eyes. Lord, put these things that are what is to come. How easy is it to live our lives and focus on the temporal? How easy is it to focus our lives upon the things that are right in front of us and to forget that there is a life to come? That we are going to stand before God someday and give a personal account of what we've done with this life. The Bible also says this in Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Are we walking worthy of the life we've been called to live through Jesus Christ? Can I submit to you tonight also, we are called to live a holy life. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 1:15-16, that as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, that word holy is a word that's not often spoken about much anymore in churches. We like to talk about love. We love to talk about mercy. We love to talk about forgiveness. And those are all great attributes of who God is. But may I also remind you, he's still a holy God. And just as he is holy, we are called to be holy. We're not called as believers just to be saved and live our life how we want to live it. We are called to live a holy life, not just separated from, but more importantly, separated unto our God. Yeah. We are called to be separated unto him. We're called to follow him no matter what the cost is. And the problem, I think, for all of us at times is this, is if we're not careful, we can compare ourselves to one another. Well, so-and-so seems to be blessed, and they're compromising over here. Friend, the standard is not one another. The standard is our holy thrice God. And what he has called us to do is to live holy as he is holy. He's called us to live our life as holy. You know, the great challenge is, I love this passage. I love the thought for this year. If all of our life was about the gospel, we would never have to worry about wasting a moment of time. You know why we regret certain times as believers? Because we got out of the will of God in those moments. Because our life was no longer about Christ, it was about self. No longer was it about what was pleasing him, it was about what pleased us. But I love what it says also at the end of it, though. He says, only let your life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. I believe it was Spurgeon who said this, if you understand Christ, you understand the gospel. May I remind you that Christ is the sum total of the gospel. Christ is the beginning, Christ is the middle, and he's the end. Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, as Hebrews 12:2 states. Christ is all-encompassing. It's not based upon you. It's not based upon me. The gospel is all about Him. It's all about pleasing Him. We need to be reminded daily that as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ, because He's the sum total of the gospel. We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday, but for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, have everlasting life. May I remind us that it's Jesus Christ that we live for, because He's the gospel. The Bible says this in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you this evening, friend, when you and I give our life to Christ and live our life completely towards the gospel, what Christ starts, He finishes. We don't serve a God that's up there and thinking, man, I don't know how I'm going to finish this. I don't know if you've ever been on a project or been around a project that it starts well but never quite gets there. It's the most frustrating thing to be a part of. I know how most women here that are married probably are dealing with that tonight. Project you want your husband to complete, and it's not just quite. Maybe 50 of them, and it's frustrating. Can I encourage you? What Jesus Christ starts, He finishes. What Jesus Christ started with you coming to eternal life, He's going to finish it, and there's going to come a day where our hope is going to be made sight. We're going to sit there and worship Him for all of eternity and serve Him. Why? Because we serve a God who is faithful. And what He's trying to encourage these people, these Philippians, is this: let your life be all about the gospel. Because He is worthy. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not what we can accomplish. It's all about what He's already done and what He is doing in our hearts and our lives. Right. And can I encourage us? It begins in the house of God. When you look back there on all those missionaries, you expect every single one of those missionaries to live their life according to the gospel of Christ. Yet how easy is it to sit in a pew and to say, as long as I give my love offering, as long as I give my mission things, I'm good. Friend, the gospel of Christ isn't just for them to live it out. It's not just for the pastor or the assistant pastor. It's for every believer here tonight to live their life for the gospel of Christ. Because everywhere you go is a mission field. Everywhere you go, every job that is here where people are working, wherever you may go tomorrow for your work, people are searching for someone that's going to live their life differently than what the world has to offer. Because what the world has to offer is hurt, anger, bitterness. It offers emptiness. Why do you think there's bars filled every Friday night? Because people are searching for something. They're searching for something to be satisfying them. And they keep going back because it never does. But what God is looking for is for a group of people to say, my life is going to be all about the gospel of Christ. Can you imagine, husbands, how much different you would be in the home if your life was all about the gospel? Wives and mothers, have you ever thought about how much different it'd be if everything was about the gospel? Young people, can I encourage you? Make your life about the gospel of Christ and He'll guide your steps. Can we imagine how much different this church would be if every single member was all about the gospel of Christ? Why? Because it goes on in verse 27, He says this, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. How could they be in one spirit and one mind? Because everybody was all about the gospel of Christ. I don't know if you've ever been on a sports team before, but the worst teams to be on is when there's a bunch of individuals. It is miserable. I've been on one. We never won a single game that year of baseball. It was miserable. The next year, we had people that wanted to work together, and we won a lot of games. It was a great time. I was in the Army. When you're with a group of guys that are all about the mission and all about accomplishing it, whether it's the most painful thing you got to do, whatever it may be, it's a difference. You can accomplish much. Have you ever thought about the fact that maybe if our life was all about the gospel, there's where the unity lies within the church? Because He says this, if all of our life is about the gospel, then we can stand fast in one spirit with one mind, in the faith, together for the faith of the gospel. The great unifier tonight for all of us is Jesus Christ. And when it's all about Him, then there goes the ego. Then there goes what I want. Then there goes all these other things, because then it's all about what can we do to further His work not just here, but around the world. But can I also say this? Because there's an enemy waiting to attack. You go down into verse 28. The Bible says, "And nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to rather suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me." Friend, there's an enemy out here that just wants to destroy this very church. And if he can destroy this church, he's going to do it with the individuals within this church. And if we're going to advance the gospel of Christ, as we think about all these things, if we're going to be of one spirit, of one mind, if we're going to stand together against the adversary, if we're going to stand together against those that are trying to ruin the work of God, may I remind us, it begins when we all say, "My life is about the gospel and nothing more. Everything I do is for the furtherance of the gospel." Paul, I believe, put this one thing I do. The only thing I do, I press towards Christ in Philippians chapter 3. Friend, I ask us tonight, is our life all about the gospel? Are there things in our life that are between us and the Savior? How easy is it to go through life and to let little things just slip on by and we never think twice about it? I've been reading through the 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. It's very interesting, but one thing for sure, you read about Saul even when he commits that sin of not getting rid of all those people, I can't remember exactly the group, and he leaves the king alive. And Samuel comes to him and he says, "God is more concerned about what? Obedience than sacrifice." Yeah. Can I tell us tonight, you can sacrifice all the money in the world, but God just wants somebody to be obedient to him. God is just looking for obedient fathers tonight. God is looking for obedient husbands, wives, mothers, children, young people, adults that are going to just be obedient and say, "My life is going to be all about the gospel." Because can I say this? God doesn't just save us just to warm a pew. He saved us for the furtherance of not just knowing him, but making him known to this lost and dying world. Paul encourages the church at Philippi. He says, "Let your life be as becometh the gospel." Ask us once again, is our life about the gospel of Christ? Maybe there's areas in your life that you need to address. Can I encourage you? We serve an amazing, faithful, merciful God. We serve a God that he's not up there trying to, the Bible says he's full of mercy. He's long-suffering. What God is looking for is humble people. What God is looking for is somebody to submit themselves and yield themselves wholeheartedly to him. The greatest people that God has used, that we call great, I should say, are people that humbled themselves and said, "I'm going all in with God." They didn't have amazing abilities. They didn't have amazing talents. Most of them, we would have thought they were backwards and quirky, but yet God used them to accomplish great things. Why? Because they were all about their life being about the cometh the gospel of Christ. Friend, there's a world out there tonight that's living their life to the prince and power of the air. And they're hoping that at the end of all of this, that maybe someday they'll have their name recognized for a time after they're gone. They're going to get to the end of this life and realize, "I've lived my life and it's all for nothing. It's all temporal. There's nothing there." But for the believer, for you and I, we can give our life to the gospel of Christ and know it's an eternal work. May our life be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Because there's a world that's looking for it. Being in Libby, we're in a small town. There's not a lot of people. There's a lot of things go on in Libby. It seems like every week somebody's getting arrested for something. It's all over the local newspaper, I should say. There's a lot of things going on up there. But the Lord has convicted my heart that we don't have a lot of time. I don't know how I'm going to be on this earth. But I do know this. I want my life to count for Jesus. Whether you're here in a town that's growing and expanding, or whether you're in Libby, Montana, or wherever you may be, may we desire this. I want my life to be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Because time's running out. And we're going to stand before God someday and we're going to give an account of what we've done. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before our Savior with his nail-pierced hands and say, I wish I'd given you more. Yeah. Well, we can't change yesterday, but we can begin today. We serve a God of new beginnings. And wouldn't it be an amazing thing out of this mission conference if everybody said, we're going to launch out into the deep. We're going to go forward by faith. Not just beyond this Sunday, but beyond and continue on and see what God can do. But it all begins, I believe, with making our life as it becometh the gospel of Christ.